opening narration.
Ekatra Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI.
Introduction.
All right, welcome everyone. Today we're diving deep into a really fascinating memoir, one that struck a chord with so many people, Michelle Obama's Becoming.
It really has. It's more than just a life story, isn't it?
Exactly. We've really gone through the sources here, articles, analyses, the book itself, to kind of give you a shortcut, you know, a way to grasp the essence of this incredibly influential person, her life, her ideas.
Mm-hmm. And our mission today really is to explore that central theme she keeps coming back to, this idea that identity isn't some fixed point you arrive at.
Right, it's a process.
It's a journey, a continuous act of becoming, and her life just illustrates that so powerfully, I think. It challenges us to see our own lives that way, too.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to pull out some of those key nuggets, you know, about finding yourself, adapting, finding your voice when the circumstances are, well, pretty extraordinary.
Absolutely. I mean, from her childhood on the south side of Chicago, right up to the White House, it's just an incredible story of growth and change. So let's unpack it.
The chronological journey.
Okay, so to really get Michelle Obama, you have to start back in Chicago, right, on the south side. Her family seems like the absolute bedrock.
Totally. It wasn't just like a family unit. It shaped her values deeply. You have her dad, Fraser Robinson, a city worker. She talks so much about his quiet dignity, his incredible work ethic, especially dealing with MS. That perseverance,
yeah,
it's a huge theme.
Definitely. And her mom, Marion.
Yeah, Marion, a homemaker but fiercely focused on teaching Michelle and her older brother, Craig, about independence, self-worth. It sounds like a very loving but also structured environment.
In a pretty modest apartment.
Yeah.
Right. But a strong community feel.
Exactly. And what's fascinating there, I think, is how crucial those roots were. Mm. That sense of belonging, those values.
Yeah.
They gave her this internal anchor.
An anchor she definitely needed later on.
For sure. Especially as she moved into these new, sometimes really challenging environments. It grounded her, gave her a sense of worth that wasn't just about external validation.
Which brings us to her education.
Yeah.
It's quite the trajectory. Chicago public schools, then Whitney M. Young, this magnet high school, and then Princeton and Harvard Law. I mean, wow.
It's impressive on paper, but what the memoir really gets into is the feeling of it all. She talks about culture shock, sure, but also that deep-seated imposter syndrome.
Yeah, feeling like you don't quite belong, even when you've achieved so much.
Right. Especially being in these spaces that were predominantly white, very affluent, coming from her background. It was a constant navigation.
And wasn't there that story about a high school counselor doubting she could even get into Princeton?
Yes. Which apparently just, you know, fueled her determination even more. Mm-hmm. It highlights those external barriers, but also the internal one she had to overcome. It wasn't just getting there. It was believing she deserved to be there.
So, okay. She finishes Harvard Law. Incredibly accomplished. And then she takes this high-powered job at a big Chicago law firm, Sidley Austin. Seems like the dream path, right?
Externally, yes. The pinnacle of success after all that hard work. But she describes this growing sense of emptiness.
Like something was missing.
Yeah, a disconnect from her roots, from the community work she felt drawn to. It wasn't fulfilling her on a deeper level, despite the prestige and the paycheck.
And this feeling, this disconnect, it leads to something she calls a swerve, right? Especially after some really tough personal losses.
Exactly. Losing her father, who was such a huge influence, and then a close friend from college.
Yeah.
It brought this sharp clarity, a realization that life's too short, you know?
Yeah.
Too short to be on a path that doesn't feel right, doesn't feel like her. So the swerve was this incredibly courageous decision to step back, reevaluate everything, and move away from corporate law.
Towards public service.
Towards public service, yeah. Seeking work that felt more meaningful, more connected to her values, it really speaks to that courage it takes sometimes to abandon the path everyone expects you to be on.
Wow. And it was actually at Sidley Austin, before the swerve, that another major life event happened.
Right. Meeting Barack Obama.
Yeah. And she's pretty funny about it in the book, her initial skepticism.
Oh, totally. She wasn't immediately swept off her feet by this, you know, hotshot summer associate everyone was talking about. She saw his intelligence, his idealism, but she was wary.
But obviously something clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And their partnership, their marriage. She portrays it with such honesty.
That's what makes it so relatable, I think.
Yeah.
It's not presented as some perfect fairy tale. It's two strong, ambitious people building a life together.
And facing real struggles.
Absolutely. Balancing two demanding careers, family life, his political ambitions. She talks about feeling like a single parent sometimes. Mm. And they face fertility issues, miscarriage, IVF.
Things people often don't talk about openly.
Exactly. And even going to marriage counseling. That candor is powerful. It kind of shatters that glossy power couple image and shows the real work, the compromises, the negotiation involved in any strong partnership.
Especially under the spotlight he was heading towards.
Yeah.
And she was initially quite ambivalent about politics, wasn't she?
Deeply ambivalent. Very reluctant, actually, especially thinking about the impact on their daughters, Malia and Sasha. It wasn't a path she initially wanted. Protecting their normalcy was paramount.
Which makes her transition to First Lady even more interesting. Moving into the White House, the first African-American First Lady.
Yeah.
She was determined not to be just, you know, a ceremonial figure.
Definitely not. She wanted to make the White House feel more open, more inclusive, the people's house. And having her mother, Marianne, move in with them, that seemed like a crucial anchor to normalcy amidst the craziness.
So how did she translate her personal values into her public role? What were her big focuses?
Well, her main initiatives really grew out of her own life experiences. Let's move.
Yeah.
Addressing childhood obesity. That came directly from her concerns as a mother about her own kids' health and nutrition.
Right. Very personal.
Yeah. And joining forces, supporting military families, that was inspired by meeting so many of them on the campaign trail, seeing their sacrifices, and then reach higher and let girls learn. That reflects her deep belief in education, given her own journey.
So they weren't just policies, they were extensions of her own story.
Pretty much, yeah. She used the platform in a way that felt authentic to her.
But she also talks about the flip side, right? Living in that White House bubble.
Oh, absolutely. The lack of privacy, the constant scrutiny, the security. It sounds intense. And through it all, her number one job, as she saw it, was being mom in chief. Protecting the girls' childhoods was non-negotiable.
Which couldn't have been easy, especially given some of the negativity directed at her.
No. She faced significant racism, misogyny, just vile attacks. And her response, that famous line, "When they go low, we go high." It wasn't just a slogan. It was a conscious strategy for maintaining dignity, staying focused on their work, and not getting dragged down into the mud. It really makes you think, doesn't it? How do you handle that kind of thing with grace?
A powerful lesson in resilience. And then, leaving the White House after the 2016 election, she acknowledges the disappointment, but still emphasizes the importance of that peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah, even in that moment, her focus was on the democratic principle, the bigger picture.
Core philosophy and values.
So if we step back and look at the whole arc, that central theme you morphed earlier really comes through, doesn't it? This idea of becoming.
It absolutely does. It's the core philosophy, really, that life isn't about reaching some final destination called identity. It's this constant process of evolving, growing, changing. You're always becoming.
I never quite arrived.
Exactly. And that connects to so many other threads in the book, like the power of your own story, your roots as a source of strength, finding and using your voice, even when it's hard.
Right. And navigating those complex intersections of race, class, gender.
Yeah, with resilience.
Yeah.
And that courage to swerve. We talked about leaving a path that isn't right for you. Plus, the view of marriage as this dynamic partnership that needs constant work.
Mm-hmm. And that tension always between the public figure and the private person.
Definitely. It's all part of that ongoing journey.
There's that quote you highlighted before. It really sums it up. For me, becoming isn't about arriving somewhere. I see it instead as forward motion, a way to reach continually toward a better self. The journey doesn't end.
It's such a hopeful way to look at life, isn't it? Mm. And she's also incredibly honest about self-doubt, that question. Am I good enough?
Which so many people grapple with.
Right. She follows it with, yes, I am. But acknowledging the question itself is huge. And her insight that failure is a feeling long before it becomes an actual result. That's profound. It locates so much of the struggle internally.
Three pivotal turning points.
Okay, so looking back at this incredible journey, can we pinpoint maybe three key moments, three pivotal turning points that really shifted the course of her life?
That's a great way to think about it. I mean, there are so many, but if I had to pick three... First, I think that swerve we discussed has to be one.
Leaving corporate law.
Yes. After her father's death, that conscious decision to reject the expected path and seek meaning over money or prestige, That fundamentally altered her career trajectory and I think her sense of self. It was a reclaiming of her own definition of success.
Okay, that makes sense. What's number two?
I'd say meeting and then committing to building a life with Barack Obama. That partnership wasn't just personal. It eventually propelled her onto a national and then global stage she never anticipated.
Right. It set the stage for everything that followed, including the challenges.
Exactly. It demanded immense adaptation, compromise, and a constant negotiation of their individual ambitions and shared life. It wasn't just falling in love, it was choosing a partner whose path would dramatically reshape hers.
Okay, the swerve, the partnership, what's the third?
Maybe the decision to truly embrace the first lady role on her own terms. Not just accepting the position, but actively shaping it around her own values and experiences.
So deciding not to be just ceremonial.
Yes. Choosing initiatives like Let's Move or Let Girls Learn, things deeply rooted in her personal story, rather than just adopting traditional Volodis causes. That deliberate choice to use the platform authentically, despite her initial ambivalence about politics, that was a major turning point in defining her public identity and impact.
Human lessons and reflection.
So thinking about all this, her journey, her struggles, her insights, what does it all mean for us, you know, listening today? How can we connect her experiences to our own lives?
Well, that's the power of the book, right? It feels incredibly human, despite the extraordinary circumstances.
Okay.
I think there are some really practical lessons.
Like what?
First, just embracing that becoming mindset ourselves. Seeing our careers, our relationships, our skills as constantly evolving, it takes the pressure off having to have it all figured out.
Yeah, permission to be a work in progress.
Exactly. Second, finding the courage for our own swerves, big or small. Recognizing when a path isn't serving us anymore and having the guts to change course, even if it's scary. Redefining success for ourselves.
That's huge.
Third, consciously investing in our partnerships. Her honesty about marriage counseling and the hard work involved, it reminds us that strong relationships don't just happen. They require effort, communication, vulnerability.
It normalizes seeking help, too.
Totally. Fourth, developing that resilience she modeled. Applying that when they go low, we go high. Idea in our own lives, dealing with criticism, workplace negativity, online stuff, maintaining our integrity.
It's a practical tool for navigating conflict.
It really is. And finally, just realizing that we all have a platform, you know, maybe not the White House, but we all have spheres of influence, finding our own way to contribute, to serve our communities based on our own values. That matters.
Three final takeaways.
Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive, let's try to boil it down.
Yeah.
If you had to pick three final powerful takeaways from Becoming, what would they be?
All right, three takeaways. Let's see. First, I'd say there's an emotional insight, and that is the deep sense of validation her story offers. It tells you that your journey, with all its twists and turns, its struggles, its moments of doubt, it's legitimate, it's worthy. Your starting point doesn't define your potential. There's real empowerment in that.
I like that. Okay, what about intellectually?
Okay, an intellectual insight. I think the most important one is that real power doesn't necessarily come from titles or positions. It comes from the authenticity of the story you live. She challenges that idea of a fixed identity, pushing us towards a mindset of constant growth and evolution. It's about the integrity of your becoming.
Authenticity over status. Makes sense. And finally, a universal lesson.
Right, a universal insight, something really practical. And that is, fundamentally, an extraordinary life is often built on very ordinary, solid values. Hard work, honesty, family connections, community support. Her life shows that you don't achieve transformation despite those things, but because of them. Personal growth and making a difference are deeply intertwined with those basic human values.
Closing narration.
Becoming really is so much more than just one woman's memoir. It taps into something universal about the human journey. As she says, the journey is far from over. And perhaps for all of us, that ongoing journey of becoming is the most important work we'll ever do. So maybe think about, what new chapter are you ready to write in your own story of becoming? Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.